Good New Year, everybody. This is James with the JBP Show. This is episode one of season three, episode one. All right. This is the beginning of the end. Okay. I've been quiet for a while. There's a reason for that. Been pretty busy taking care of family, new kids, new life. So things are much different. I'm going to try and get as much time in with you guys as I can. Therefore, these are going to be closer to 30-minute to an hour shows instead of 15 to 20 minutes where I would be able to get those out, you know, every couple of days. It's probably going to be once every week and a half. Let's get started here. I want to talk about a couple of things, but something just hit the news right now, and it's something that I think is worth talking to everyone about. Ilhan Omar was just removed from her committee in Congress. 218 to 211 votes today, this morning, just there. So now, she's still in Congress, so don't get me wrong. She's still in Congress. However, she now has no responsibility, so she will very soon be out of Congress is what I think. But I want to talk about some other things. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about McCarthy becoming the speaker. Hunter admits to the laptop. Trey Vinks, went to Ukraine to talk to Vladimir Zelensky. They had a one-minute convo on Fox, which went absolutely nowhere. So why this interview? Race baiting with African-American advanced AP courses in schools across the United States. They're changing the history of African-Americans in the books. And then we'll talk about how all this is kind of being distracted by the new narrative, which is Ukraine and Russia and us in World War III, and not to mention the 31 tanks that we sent over, the Abrams, all the old Russian stuff that we had down south. So there's a lot to be said and a lot to be talked about. It's been a while. I got a lot on my mind. I've been watching this stuff for a while. It's really starting to scare me. I am a little upset at myself that I was a little too far on the extreme side for the potentialities of what could happen. And I remember in some of the previous shows, I was a little more hesitant. I was a little less hesitant to call out some more out of the realm type of cause and effects that may happen, for instance, getting all the gas. We're going to run out of gas. I think we still are going to run out of that. I think that what's happened, though, is if you pay attention now, a lot of stuff has changed. The House is now ran by Republicans, so we have a Republican House GOP now. So, and we have which is a segue into my first topic, which is Speaker McCarthy. So we have Speaker McCarthy now is running the entire House, which is good because he is one person. At first I didn't really like the guy, but the more and more that I kind of listen to the way he talks and how his rhetoric is when he speaks to the press, you can tell that he's an honest guy. You can tell that he has goals and ambitions, and you can tell that he's upset with this, with these trillions and billions of dollars that we've been just spending and giving away to Ukraine, COVID spending bills that had, if it was not to mention, don't forget that some of those COVID bills had gender identification study research, stuff like that, for like fucking Iran and other countries out there. Why are we worried about what they're trying to figure out what their gender is? That's none of our fucking business. Why are we donating money? Why are we donating billions of dollars to gender research in another country? There's two genders. There's male and there's female. Okay. There's a third gender, but it's very rare. And it's usually in anything other than a human being. It's only in a few species, and it's called being asexual. These are very, very, very uncommon traits in a creature, and there are very few of them. I think there's less than 1% of world inhabitants species are asexual. That's probably less than 1% of a percent. It's probably less than a tenth of a percent. But that's neither here nor there. However, you have Speaker McCarthy coming in, and he's going to go ahead and start dictating how Congress and how Biden can spend money, which is good because there hasn't been a filter for a while. And he's just kind of been, you know, off to the wall doing whatever he wants. He needs some control. He needs a filter. He needs somebody to double check and triple check what he was doing. When you had Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House, all she did was say thumbs up, I'm agreeing with all this shit. So it's kind of easy when you have the legislative and you have the executive branch under control. Right. But and then you're trying to take over the judicial. So the Democrats had the legislative and they had the executive branch completely under control up until the beginning of this month or the middle of last month when Speaker McCarthy was then voted into as Speaker of the House, when Kevin McCarthy was deemed Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi was deemed out, right? So now you have somebody that can actually control the debt ceiling, that can have hard negotiations with the other two houses. So you have the judicial, in case people, and I don't even know if they even teach this to you. You have three sides of politics, right? Of our government. You have the legislative branch, you have the judicial branch, and you have the executive branch. The executive branch is everything that has to do with the administration. So the Biden administration, all that's executive, right? You have the judicial branch. This includes all of our Supreme Court justices of the United States, okay? All right, and then you have the legislative branch, which is the House, and then you have Congress, you have all these other different entities that fall underneath that. There are many that help create legislation, meaning they're writing bills, they're getting bills passed, they're sitting and they're voting, and they're sitting in the hall and they're negotiating. You know, they're in each other's offices for hours upon end, for days on end and weeks on end, trying to get bills together so that we can spend the money in the right way. And everybody wants to spend this money differently, right? So now the Republicans have control of how to spend the money, which is good, which means they're going to turn that spigot all the way off. That thing has been on. They literally, Biden set the hose out in the yard and didn't put a sprinkler on it and just turned it on. That's what's been happening to our money for the last 2.5 years. We've been watching him just illicitly spend all this money with next to no pushback from anybody in the government, right? So here's the other thing too that Kevin McCarthy can do. Kevin McCarthy can not only restrict certain bills going up to the president, because remember, it's got to go all the way up through him, and then it goes up to the president. It goes up to for further signing, and then it goes to legislation, or excuse me, then it goes to the executive branch for the president to sign, right? So everything through legislation, and then vice versa. Anything the president wants to do has to go over to legislation. That's why we have three branches of government. They're all supposed to check each other, right? But the main thing is that the judicial branch really doesn't get involved unless something that the legislative or the executive has done that is out of bounds. So realistically, you have legislative and executive fighting each other all day long to try and get bills passed. The judicial side just kind of sits back and watches everything happen and allows for the legal or illegal submission of these things, which lately they've been silent, which I don't understand why. If you think about when Donald Trump put everybody that he could. And that's the other thing too. They tried to, I'm gonna segue a little bit off of here. They tried to say that I can't even think of her name right now. I'm so just emotional about all this stuff. It's ridiculous. But Greta, or what is her name? Greenberg or whatever. I can't think of her fucking name off the top of my head. Now I sound completely uneducated, but it's just there's a lot that's going on right now. You have whenever he put who he did into the top levels of the Supreme Court justices, what he did was he evened out the playing field so that the judiciary branch would fight itself within and not be able to produce. So he did that temporarily so that he couldn't allow for him, or he couldn't allow for whoever was going to take over after him, in case he didn't get the next presidential election, would not be able to just do everything, would not have control over all three branches of government. Right now, Biden only has control over two. Well, he had control over two. Now he has control over one. All he has is the executive branch. The left only has control over the executive branch now. That's it. Okay, that's it. And with House Speaker McCarthy, you're not going to see stacks of 70 plus bills and shit with hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars inside of them being signed. And he doesn't even know what the hell he's signing. I mean, he's admitted that too. It took him 10 and a half minutes to sign those, or what was it, 14 and a half minutes, I think it was in that video. I can't remember. I saw it and I was amazed. It's like they mocked America by making that video, by showing him and in a time lapse how long it took him to sign those 70 plus or 60 plus executive. He said that there were bills. I'm willing to bet those were executive orders. And they just don't want to talk about executive orders, because on day one, within the first few hours of his presidency, he signed 74 of them or 73 of them. I mean, they're trying to do everything they can to get away with murder. They signed all those bills just before. What happened? McCarthy becomes speaker. Go back and find that video where Biden is signing all those bills. I'm using air quotes right now. You can't see me. All of those bills, I think they're executive orders, that stack that took him all that time that he time-lapsed. Look at when that happened, and then look at when the votes came in for Speaker McCarthy, and look at whenever they found out that he was going to literally be the speaker, and then look at when he became speaker. It's very, 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 very ironic that during the time frame of all of that, he goes ahead and puts out a signs a bunch of bills into power, into office, into legislation. What? You have to be paying attention to all of this stuff. I mean, you're talking about a guy whose son, who he used his, I mean, going all the way back. I mean, and there's even new shit now where they're finding all these classified documents in the garage. Now, they didn't find anything at anyone else's house that they went to, but then they also gave him time to go there and clean house. Biden was at his Wilmington home before the FBI showed up. Oh, what a fucking coincidence. They didn't find anything, but they did find some notes, some handwritten notes. All of this, and from documents that he had when he was a VP, all of this is happening all at once, okay? What you're going to see is a couple of things, and I'm going to touch this real quick, but you're likely going to see him go down within the next 6 months to a year, and Kamala Harris is going to take over, and we'll talk about that later too. So the next thing I want to segue into is what we were just talking about, all of this classified information, right, with Hunter Biden. That's another thing too. Hunter Biden has now admitted that the laptop is his. If the laptop is truly his and he's admitting to it and it's all fact and everything comes out, why was the FBI and the CIA and every political fucking junkie of high level authority saying that it was Russian disinformation? Which is why they're calling for the impeachment of the director of the FBI right now. Russian disinformation, but Hunter turns around and says, okay, yeah, I'll accept it. But is this a plea deal? Is this a bailout? Is this the whole plan to begin with? Was this all part of it all? Was the idea to do this so that he could come in here and make a bunch of, you know, because and Biden's old. He's not young. He's got no snap to him. He's got no rhythm. The dude is old. He gaffes up all the time. He thinks he's having one conversation and falls over to another one because he thinks about something while he's having the conversation. I mean, it's completely apparent. We've seen it 100 fucking times. They're getting ready to take him out. He did what he was supposed to do. He fulfilled what he was supposed to do for the left and the deep state. And now it's time for him to move. And he's getting booted out slowly but surely. All this stuff, they're starting to admit to everything. They're starting to let the investigations roll. Most of it is because Kevin McCarthy is now in control of the House. And if he's in control of the House, he can help push all of this investigation. He can help make it more. He can help solidify the process and making sure that it's actually completed and that it's carried out. I mean, it's getting absolutely intense here. And all along, Hunter Biden admits to it being his laptop. And where is Hunter, by the way? Where has he been for the last 2 years? Nobody's seen him. But maybe here and there, maybe a phone call from dad or from, you know what I'm saying? It's like you barely, rarely even hear about him, and you've never seen him since he's been president. At least I haven't. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but I have not seen him. It's insane. And you have Ukraine in the midst of all this trying to cover up their end of the fucking deal. I have a theory here, and I'll talk about it, but it's not a conspiracy. I'm not trying to push anybody, but it's a theory, okay? It's a strong theory, but I think it's a theory. I think it's something that might be plausible because I've been watching all of this happen, and I'm a free thinker, and all I do is I read, and I watch, and I formulate my own opinions, right? This is what my opinion of everything that's going on, and I'm going to touch it real quick, and we'll come back to it later. I believe that Ukraine is trying to cover up all of its fucking infidelity to its country and all of the corruption to amount to the fact that whatever might be on that laptop, right? Whatever might be on that laptop that connects him and, I mean, it makes to him and Volodymyr Zelensky. I mean, it makes sense that whenever Trump had that one conversation with him, I think what people failed to see is that that conversation was 100% him trying to warn Volodymyr Zelensky that if you try to butt up against me, I'm going to fucking take you out too. Not physically by life or by threat, but financially, he was going to destroy Ukraine if he didn't come forward with this stuff. And if you think about it, he pretty much had him in the grasp of getting all this stuff out before he didn't make it into his second term. He's been up against a lot, fighting a lot. He's got all these agencies against one man, right? So if you go back and you look at it, I think Ukraine is trying to cover up for all of this. And hear me out on this and just think about it. I don't think that this is something that is going to come to fruition. I don't think this is the truth. I don't think this is fact, but it's an idea. I think it's plausible. It could be. I don't know that this is what it is, but it very well could be. What if this whole time, right? Because remember that one time, and they've said this on the news too. I've seen it recently in the last couple of weeks. Russian President Vladimir Putin said that he's never had any respect for any president other than President Trump, because whenever he has conversations, there's actual goals and he wants to get places. These other presidents have talk, but never did the walk. So he had a lot of respect for him. What if he came up with some sort of deal with President Trump to help figure out what was going on in Ukraine? Because from what I understand, a lot of it has to do with Russia as well. And Ukraine has been burning Russia left and right. So, and I'm not trying to play into any, but like, there's got to be something bigger that none of us are seeing in it. And it's got to be something to this effect. I mean, it makes no sense to me why Russia would really walk into Ukraine for anything other than land. I don't think Putin's worried about land. I mean, he's pretty much erased everybody from his line of acceptance to his presidency, to his chair, that there is no one to confront him. There's no one to battle him. There's no one to challenge him for his seat. He's offed everybody. He's removed everybody that could have been in any political power or seat that could have challenged him for his seat. He's already killed them all. They're all gone. So there's nobody to succeed him. And he's getting sick. He's getting old. And he knows that. And I don't think at the end of the day, he wants to go down as being known for somebody who, you know, just took over Ukraine for the simplicity of the land to try and rebuild the USSR. Now, there are a couple other theories out there that I think could be true. One, he doesn't want NATO getting closer into his doorstep, to his back door, to his backyard. I believe that. That could be one reason why you would want to go in and take over Ukraine and try to create that massive mile, that massive country long distance between Moscow and NATO forces and the EU. I could believe that 100%. The other narrative is that he just wants to take what's rightfully belongs to the USSR and just rebuild the USSR in general. And he doesn't care about NATO, doesn't care about anything else. That's also a possibility. But then there's a possibility that, you know, I've heard even things as far as what if he's trying to take on the corruption by himself. And because I've seen a lot of videos from both sides of everything. And I have people that are Ukraine that have family, that are Ukrainian, that have families in Ukraine. And they've told me that it's not as drastic as what people are showing and saying on the news. It's really not that bad. There's not that much murder. There's not that much chaos. The fighting is between the soldiers more than it is between the civilians. And to be quite honest, I mean, Ukraine's been living in third world conditions for the last few years, but it just hasn't hit it to the public yet because the damage hasn't really, they're in just as worse of a condition as a country as we are right now, if not 2 to 3 times worse with inflation, cost of everything. So they're on their way out the door, and it's only been happening since Vladimir Zelensky has taken presidency, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse since before the whole scandal with Burisma. So if you see what's happening, the whole country's corrupt. So there's a lot of controversy on whether the eastern side, the eastern plains by the Donbass, was really a liberation or if it was a takeover, a terrorist takeover. I somewhat buy that it's kind of liberation, but I'm not a fan of communism. I'm not a fan of Putin, but you have to respect your enemy and you have to be able to look at it from any and all sides possible. It's the only way you can come up with the best, assumption or the best idea of what is actually going on without having inside information. I mean, that's really what we're all left up to is our opinions. What can we formulate from the information that we can get? And part of me believes that maybe Russia's not the biggest threat that we think they are, and they may be trying to help push and squeeze Vladimir Zelensky and the corrupt administration that he's running out of that country and maybe possibly liberate it. It's possible. And maybe Trump helped formulate that idea. Maybe Trump helped put that plan together. I have no idea. But it's possible. Now, does that make him a Russian asset? No. He's a fucking president negotiating with another president. another superpower and coming up with a plan. I mean, that's what every country should be doing. Every country should be trying to. Now, I'm not saying for decimation and war and all that shit. I don't agree with any of that. But what I'm saying is presidents should be talking. They should be having conversations. These superpowers should always be in communication, trying to figure out how to make the countries and their individual countries and the war better as a whole. But right now we have so much confliction, and Ukraine seems to be right in the middle of it. Hunter Biden's laptop, Burisma, President Biden, Vladimir Zelensky. I mean, there's all kinds of things that are mounting up to the question of what are we really in the middle of here? Is it a big, massive scandal that an entire country is involved in and is trying to find a way out of? And the country next door said, fuck that. If you can't do it and I know America won't do it, I'll do it. Because maybe Russia got screwed over in the midst of it all, too. Nord Stream, I don't know what any of that had to do with the fact that, you know, there could have been, I need to do more research on that, but I'm pretty sure that all the oil and the drilling and pipelines had a lot to do with it. Again, Burisma. So it's going to be kind of tough to dial down what really is the cause of this conflict over in Ukraine. It really is. And the more and more that they try to boost it and put that on the TV and they tried to use it recently. Now, remember, this was a big fucking deal a year ago. We had people in the streets with Ukraine flags all across America, people putting Ukraine flag stickers on their cars, putting Ukrainian flags up in their windows and their businesses, dealerships throwing big, massive Ukrainian flags up underneath the American flag. I mean, there was a lot of push for the let's get on Ukraine's side. And I think that was a widely pushed mass suppression of what was actually going on. They wanted you to believe that Ukraine was being taken over by Russia and it was an invasion. I mean, if it was really an invasion, when Biden said that was just a minor incursion, if they move tanks in and da-da-da, we'll go to war. I mean, he kept saying all this shit, but every time that they did it, nothing happened. It's like Biden is not, I don't want to go to war because I don't want to make it look like I'm defending something. He just wants to let Vladimir Zelensky just fall down. When was the last time Vladimir Zelensky and President Biden had a conversation with each other? It's like he's about to let him hit the fucking ground and let him burn. But, I mean, then again, that wouldn't make sense if Hunter has just admitted to the laptop being his. There's a lot. But I kind of also wanted to touch back a little bit. Let me bounce back just a little bit to the Fox interviews, the Fox News interview with Trey Binks and Vladimir Zelensky. Like I said, it was a 1-minute convo. It went absolutely nowhere. All he talked about was, I'm very proud in my Ukrainian soldiers that, you know, keep up the motivation and the endurance to fight this war and blah, 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 blah. And the other thing that strikes me as very odd is, why does a president in war have a bunch of high-level Hollywood actors always visiting him? If this is a war-torn area, how are these people getting in? If Vladimir Putin truly does have Kyiv surrounded, how are these people getting in? Whenever you take that one little bit I just said versus all this war-torn shit that we've heard, it makes you wonder if the war is even real. If it's all just smoke and mirrors, while we're dealing with, in our country, race baiting, inflation, trafficking of fentanyl, trafficking of our children, all the stuff that's happening with the Hunter Biden laptop, it's all smoke and mirror to get you to focus your information, your attention somewhere else. But I have a feeling a lot of stuff is going to come to light and to fruition with Speaker McCarthy in power and what he's going to do and what he's going to bring to the American people. He ran on transparency. Let's see what the hell he does. I have no reservations that he's going to do what he says he does, but I want to see if he does. He may. He can. We've been lied to a lot by our politicians, but he very well may be the one that helps to, you know, correct some of this shit. You know, especially with the race baiting, okay? And I want to jump into that real quick. So there was I saw this headline and I kind of looked at it for a minute and I read it and I read down through the article. it was Gateway Pundit, and then they had it again on Washington Post. And there's two different views in the way that they try to perceive what they're trying to say. Like one, the left is saying that, oh, we're trying to teach African Americans their true history and their need for racial equity and equality and all this and da da da. But then when you go back and you look at what the right is actually saying, it's like, no, they're changing it. They're lying because that's not what happened. they're trying to make it, they're trying to create the race baiting. They're teaching how to be racist, right? Because they want you to, you know, and don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong on this. I believe be proud of who you are, right? But you don't need to walk down the street saying, I'm black and I'm proud. I'm Mexican and I'm proud. I'm white and I'm proud. I'm Asian and I'm proud. I'm Korean and I'm proud. Honestly, that's not what America was about. America was to come to this country, be seen as an individual, a human being that wants to be a part of a greater good in this world and contributing to the freedoms and the prosperity and the fruits that can be harvested from the loom of what is the United States of America. That's what this country is about. It's not about being proud of who you are, because if you're so proud of who you are before you remember what you came to this country for, you're the racist. I'm half Hispanic and I'm half European. So basically I'm Mexican and white. I'm Hispanic and white, if you want to call it. I'm Hispanic American. I'm a Latino American. But you know what I haven't done for 32 years? I haven't walked down the streets and I haven't said, you know what, I'm Mexican and I'm proud. I'm Dominican and I'm proud. I say Mexican because that's like the majority of the Hispanics that do come into this country. I don't go down the street saying, yo soy Dominicano, you know, and I'm proud of that, you know. You're white, so I don't want nothing to do with you. No, I grew up where I could walk down the street and I could find a Ukrainian dude. I could find someone from fucking Laos, someone from Vietnam. Walk across the street, there's an African-American. Go next door to him, there's a Pakistani. Go to the corner and there was an Indian dude that had an ice cream truck. I mean, like, I grew up in a neighborhood where there was no such thing as race. But for whatever reason, everyone separated themselves because that's what California did. California pushed you to be proud of yourself and not proud of being everyone. In my schools, we were raised with clubs, LGBTQ club, the Hmong club, the Vietnamese club, the Indian club, Hispanic Heritage Club. Like, there's Indian Heritage Club, Indian American Club. Why do we have all these clubs so you can segregate with people of your... The whole idea of America was to just blend in and just... everyone. It's a fucking mixing pot. Let's just be us, be American. You're leaving everything from your country and you're leaving all that behind to come here and be a part of what doesn't exist, which is slavery and communism and dictatorships and long dynasties of people who, families that have been running countries for hundreds of years and nothing has changed and everything's been the same. That's what everyone came to America to get away from. That's what America is about. But it's been flipped in these books, in these African-American AP courses. And they're changing the heritage and the history of what actually happened. And what it's doing is it's creating race-baiting individuals. I mean, with all this CRT shit, critical race theory, you don't have to teach race to get rid of race. What you do is you don't talk about it and you don't believe in it. You don't entertain it. You don't do anything about it because race doesn't separate. If you cut me open from sternum to fucking belly, and you rip me open and you go to the man next and you pick anybody on the street, doesn't matter what his gender, what his ethnicity is, whatever he is, you cut him down the middle, we will all open and bleed the same. We are all the same. And people are feeding into this. This is something that's important. We're worried about what's happening in Ukraine. We're not even anywhere near Ukraine, and Russia can do whatever the fuck they want as far as I'm concerned. I don't care about that. I don't care about Iran's gender inequality. I don't care about the study for gender fluidity in Pakistan. I don't care about any of that shit. I care about our own country. We need to start focusing on ourselves. Now, do I say we need to let the rest of the world burn when people want to go crazy? No, we need to be the police. But at the same time, this is terrible, terrible timing. And they're probably doing it in every other ethnicity history book. They're probably, instead of just having American history, they probably have divided it up, because I've been out of school for 15 years. They've probably divided American history up into different sections. African-American history, they probably call it Black history, to be honest with you, because really, that's another thing too, the term Black, if you call someone Black, that's racist. That really is racist, because they're not Black, they're brown. You're calling them what they're not. But anyways, so African-American history, I'm sure that the Mexican-American history has been defunct. I'm sure the history about how Texas was taken from Mexico and for what reasons why and the Battle of Chapultepec and all that shit, I bet that's never even talked about. Right? Fucking bloodbath. They probably don't know why Napoleon didn't make it as far as he did. and why Napoleon Bonaparte was removed from power and why he was killed. They don't know anything probably about that. That's some real slavery shit. That's some real military coup type stuff. Inflation, they're trying to block inflation with this war. Inflation is something that has been the forefront of what's going on in this country right now. And it's absolutely upsetting to see that Fed hikes are like as common as someone getting the sniffles and sneezing for some allergies during, you know, springtime or during fall, or, you know, it's ridiculous. There's no control. There's absolutely no control. When people want to say, oh, inflation is because, you know, the war. What? Well, yes, a portion of it. But when you go back and you look at the trillions of dollars that Biden has spent in his presidency in 2 fucking years, the $15 trillion that he spent in 2 years, it's no fucking wonder that the Fed needs to figure out how to get its money back. They printed all this money. It's like, oh shit, now I have no power with it. What do I do? Oh, let's raise interest rates so we can, you know, pull that money back and replace it, burn that money and get rid of that money so we can create the dollar again because we printed too much out. I mean, that's what happens. If you think that money doesn't get pulled out of circulation, I mean, you're absolutely naive to think that. Money is always pulled out of circulation. Inflation versus recession. That's what we're dealing with right now. It's not really a versus. They're kind of going hand in hand. It's just which one's going to happen first. Which one's going to get worse first? Inflation seems to be on a very steady climb. We've been in a recession for now 4.5, 5 months, I believe. I think it's 5 months. I'm trying to think back to when I looked at. Excuse me. It's 3.5 quarters. 3 quarters now. Yeah, so we're 9 months. Excuse me. I apologize. I gotta get my math right. I'm watching the Fox News right now and seeing shit. Hunter Biden just came off the damn plane. So right now, as I'm sitting, Hunter Biden is, legal letters do not admit laptop is his. Hunter Biden attorneys are saying that the laptop's not his, but Hunter Biden has now agreed to it being him. Hunter Biden, I'm seeing Hunter Biden now for the first time on TV. Here we go. So he has been around. So he's not MIA as you think he is, which makes you wonder. We're really trying to figure out, I digress. We're really trying to figure out inflation versus recession, okay? We've been in recession for 3.5 quarters, for 9 months. Nobody wants to believe it. Nobody wants to talk about it. But if you go back and you look at the quarterly fucking earnings, they're on a negative arch, meaning they're going down, not up, okay? Going down, not up. But no one wants to talk about it. And then we talk about inflation. Inflation is of one thing, right? What is the cost of the dollar? Well, you figure out the cost of the dollar by the interest rate on what that loan is for every dollar that is sent out from the Fed into the public. Well, the Fed is at a 7 to 8% rate right now. That's the highest it's been in a long time. And it makes you wonder, you know, why is the Fed hiking it? Oh, well, let's follow right back to the fact that President Biden and his administration has been just trillionaireing countries. It makes no sense. And all of that, the FTX, all that money got dumped into FTX, and then all of a sudden the FTX drains, and now you have that guy that's getting ready to, I can't think of his name off the top of my head right now, but you have him that he's about ready to do time because his company helped money launder all that shit right back into a bunch of politicians, American and foreign politicians' hands, into their pockets. You talk about the biggest grab in American history and the change of wealth, the transfer of wealth. They weren't lying when they said that the biggest transfer of wealth was going to occur and it was going to happen through the form of digital coins. And it happened. It absolutely happened. Through the form of digital currency, they will transfer the biggest amount of wealth from the civilian population to the government population. and to those within the government, those within the FBI, the CIA, the presidential administration, so the executive and the congressional branches, the House Intelligence Committee, all those people, everybody, all of them that were on the left, that were a Democrat, that were a rhino, they just made a bunch of money off all this. Look at Nancy Pelosi and her insider trading, all the money that she's been making. They've been stealing money for us for fucking years. Somehow her husband has nearly a 100% accuracy rating for investing and turning money around into profit. And for whatever reason, 10 times out of 10, it was from some company or some bill or some sort of sanction that occurred to where it was something that he can expose and make money on. They've been doing it to us for years. So we're in a recession and inflation is on the rise. I've watched homes in the last 7 months jump from 2 to 3% all the way up to now 6 to 7%, 7.5%. Simple loans from simple banks just not even 2 months ago were in the 2s and 3s, up to $30,000, $40,000, you know, $50,000. You know, for instance, solar rates were at, you know, 3.99, not even 2-3 months ago. 2 months ago, now they're at 6-8%. It's absolutely fucking insane. Interest rates are rising. The dollar is falling. Inflation is what's gonna put all of us in a hole. You gotta think about people are stopped buying too. I used to sell cars, and I was damn good at it. And I sold cars during the hike-up, during the markup. I did everything I could to not let that markup roll out that door, but there were certain things and certain people that either didn't care, they had the money, they'd pay for it anyways. There's a lot of rich fucking people in Central Texas. There's a lot of money in Central Texas. But then there were people that would come in and say, hey, I want to buy a Bronco. There was this guy, he came in, he was in his late 70s. He had Broncos when he was younger with his children. That was a thing that they had when the first Broncos came out. It was like their little momentum. Well, his wife had already passed and his kids are all grown up and he has grandkids and he kind of is on his way out the door and he wanted to buy a Bronco, a manual Bronco. The thing was listed literally for $28,000. It was a two-door base Bronco with Steelys on the fucking wheels. And they were still trying to get the old man for $25,000 over MSRP. I got the desk to talk down to $18,000. Of course, the man wasn't going to do it and I wasn't going to let him. But what I notice is from that time into now, since all this actual Fed hike has happened in the last 6 months, I've watched car sales take a massive plummet. I mean, I hopped out of the business because of it. It's not lucrative anymore. Now, granted, I will try to make the most money as possible, but my moral instinct and my standards started to speak to me, and the guilt was overwhelming from the amount of money that I was taking from. It was theft. I was getting rich. I was making, you know, $12,000 to $16,000 a month and putting people in $15,000 to $30,000 in debt and loans that they're never going to be able to pay off at interest rates that are ridiculous. I don't understand. I regret, and I'll probably never go back to it. Actually, I know I'm not going back to it, but I'll probably never ever entertain the idea of that ever again. I don't think I'll ever sell a car again because it's just absolute theft. Unless the market's back to where it was when I came into the car business, where you could sell a car for, I mean, the game used to be when I came into the business in 2019 was how far above invoice could you sell a car? Invoice, not MSRP. We're talking $3,000 below MSRP. Your goal was to try and get somewhere above invoice and as close to MSRP as possible. I mean, people were buying $40,000 vehicles for $30,000. People were buying $50,000, $60,000 vehicles for $40,000, $45,000, $50,000. I mean, there was never profit. It was all based off of units. How many cars could you get out? And we'll pay you $150 per car that you get out. You had to sell 25 cars to make any fucking money. And you had to hope that they bought back end. When this whole markup happened and the inflation really started to occur and you watched the rise of the housing market and the rise of the car market and used cars became 10 to 15% more worth more in value than they did, you know, the month prior. And then all of a sudden it was 60% worth more in value. And it just was insane. There's just so much more value in these vehicles during the electric car narrative, which is still trying to happen. We could talk about that too. All right. You had all this occurring, and at the very end of it all, people caught on to it. It took a while. It took almost a year for them to figure it the fuck out, but they figured it out. And now people realize that it was all just a big money grab. People aren't buying cars anymore. It's very, very hard to sell a car. You'd be lucky if you sold 5 cars a month right now. Why? Because inflation is too high and we're in a recession and nobody wants to talk about it. Groceries. I was just online looking around Twitter and True Social and everything, and I was watching the news, and there was something that I saw that blew my mind. I'm gonna see if I could find it. And it was specifically about food and the cost and how it's gone up. I don't know if I have it in my phone. Oh, here we go. Yes. So just December, year over year, groceries took a 7.1% incline from the previous December. So over that whole year, food's gone up 7%. Now that, you said, oh, that's not a big number. That's only 7%. But if you look at the cost and value of everything, to a gallon of milk, to a carton of eggs, to a brick of cheese and a pound of beef, you're talking about a difference between, you know, a couple of, you're talking about difference of about 10 to almost probably $8 to $12 on some of these items. As low as $4 increase. I mean, milk right now in a grocery store is $6, $7. Eggs are $5 to $6 a carton for a dozen. Bread is up to $5, $6 a fucking loaf. Groceries in general, right? Groceries in general have gone up, the overall increase was 7.4% for the cost of food, but just groceries, right? Just the cost of groceries. Household necessities. I'm reading this all wrong. I apologize. Overall household necessities, 7.1%. Groceries, 11.8%. 11.8%. So yeah, $8 to $12 per item. Overall increase, average, is nuts. Beef is where the big number comes from, but on the lowest end is probably $4 and for milk and bread. And I mean, you could buy a loaf of bread for $2, $3. Now it's $6. What's going on? Electricity is up 14.3%. I don't want to talk about electricity, okay? So the majority of the time that I've ever lived in Texas, I've never had an electric bill come to me over $200. The average was about 120, maybe 130, as high as 150. That's when I was like, oh shit, we're really spending some money. I just recently moved to talk on the housing market as well. This is only 6 months different in time frame. So I sold my house. 7 months later, I bought another house. I went from 2.25 to 6.25. So I took a 4% increase in 7 months. Do the math on that and average it out per month, and there's your fucking Fed hike over the month, over those 7 months, right? Electricity, I was paying 4 cents a kilowatt hour. Now I'm paying upwards of 20 cents a kilowatt hour. It's insane. I've had $600, $500 bills, and I have never, and I don't even use anywhere near the amount of electricity that I've used anywhere else that I've lived in Texas. I've never had a bill, like I said, over $180 or over $200, excuse me. I've had a couple $200 ones during the freeze, but that was it. Everything's been about 120, 130, maybe 140. Now I have $400, $500, $600 electric bills. It doesn't make any sense. Rent was up 8.3%. I buy that 100%. 8.3%, because when I was renting before I bought my first house, rent was like anywhere from 16 to 17 for a decent 3-bedroom, 1,800 square foot home, whether it was a townhouse, an apartment, or an actual home. 3 bedrooms, 1,800 square feet for about $1,700 average. That same house rent today is about $2,200. $2,000 to $2,200 in Texas. We're in a recession, and inflation is on the rise. Nobody wants to believe it. Nobody wants to buy it, and it's absolutely sick. There was a poll that I saw off of Fox News, and I try to find some other stuff similar to this, and the numbers are really close. So Fox News has 64% of the consumers living paycheck to paycheck. I didn't write who these other ones were for, but I have some other numbers. One other number is 61%. Another one is 58%. One is 66%. And then one more was 52%. So these are the amount of consumers living paycheck to paycheck, right now, meaning that inflation is hurting Americans. Okay. This exact survey from Fox News is from the Payments and Lending Club survey. They had 3,989 consumers come in on this. So out of 4,000, we'll just round up 11, okay? out of 4,000, 64% of that, out of 4,000, 64% said we're living paycheck to paycheck. 4,000. That's 2,500 people, America. 2,500 people out of that 4,000 say, yeah, we're living paycheck to paycheck right now. That's how hard that this is getting. This is in America, right? That could have been from all across the United States. But 64% of 4,000 people, 2,500 people said that they are living in peril right now, paycheck to paycheck. I hope that Speaker McCarthy has a lot of good things in store for us. One of the things that I'm very happy and proud of so far was they got rid of Ilhan Omar. So again, she got 218 to remove her, over 211 for her to stay. But what will this do for America? What kind of message is going to occur? What kind of message is going to come out? Is the media going to politicize this? Is the media going to hop on board and say, oh man, yeah, we were wrong? Are they going to hop on board and bash her and tell her goodbye? Or are they going to get on there and they're going to say, you know, this is an attack of all Muslim Americans across the United States and da 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 da. And they're going to talk about Sharia law. They're going to talk about all this shit, right? And they're going to try and turn it into another distracting topic and try to get Americans to race bait some more, saying that this is a race move. But if you have to remove someone who lied about their entire history and past, by the way, she's born and raised in Mogadishu, right? And then she came to America for college. So she's Somalian. I wonder what kind of corrupt drug rings are in there. Oh wait, almost all of them. Oh wait, didn't we in the 90s go over there and get in a big fucking fight? They did a movie about it. I think it's called Black Hawk Down. I'm not sure. You should probably watch it. We have a politician from Somalia in Congress. Was she a terrorist? Was she an implant by the CIA? Did the FBI know about her? I mean, there was a big push for a little while about Muslim and Palestinian and all this kind of, you know, push for Muslim equality. And now we're back to African-American equality and nobody can get their shit together. I mean, for fucking 2 months, it was stop Asian hate. And what the fuck are we doing? There's a reason why they removed her immediately. I wonder if the other members of the squad are next. I'd be very, 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 very happy to see that. But I'll keep an eye on that and we'll see what happens. As far as all that's concerned, like I said, I know it's been a while since I've been on here and I've been very, very busy watching all this stuff. And it really makes me wonder, what is it that we're actually running into as a country? So now that I've talked about all that, I kind of want to roll back to what my opinion is. Are we really about to walk into World War III? Are we already in it? And what are the cause and effects of this? And what is the reasoning behind it? I look at it just like this. President Biden was trying to cover up everything that happened in Ukraine. So what does the Biden administration, what does this deep state do? What does Hollywood do? Hollywood sends all of their most famous and cherished actors to go and meet with Vladimir Zelensky and help push this Ukraine's being invaded narrative. That's what I truly believe. And I think that Russia and that Putin is trying to take back what is rightfully theirs for whatever reason that might be. I don't know, nor do I agree with it, but it's just what I think. I think that they're trying to take what they think is rightfully theirs. And I think that they've been convoluted and they've been screwed over by Ukraine. And that just hasn't come to light yet. And I think that they're trying to get their revenge. I think that they're trying to, maybe they are trying to liberate. I have no idea. I mean, when the USSR fell apart, there was a lot of a lot, and people don't know this and people don't believe it, but there was a lot of corruption that came out of all of those countries right there, all those Baltic states, Lithuania, all of them, Estonia, all those countries that separate the EU or that are right there on the cusp of the EU and NATO forces right there on the west side of Ukraine. Now, I believe that Putin's trying to set up a very big distance between NATO and Russia. And I think that when NATO helped in the past bring down the USSR, which no one wants to call it NATO back then. They won't call it NATO back then, but that's what it was. The UN. When the UN helped break down the USSR into its conglomerate countries that it does now, right? It allowed for the EU to come in and politicize and unionize those countries into the EU and into NATO. And that was the game plan. You had to break it down first, divide it up, right? And then conquer it. Oh, wait. That's exactly what's happening in our country right now with us as Americans and our political agenda, our political beliefs and the political agenda that's being set before us. They want to divide us up, break us down, and then conquer us or control us. I mean, it's simple semantics. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out how to take over a country. It's not very hard. I mean, somebody with an IQ of probably 50 could figure it the fuck out eventually over the course of their life and be successful at it. It really is not a difficult thing. You need to bring a country down and you need to break it down. How do you do that? You politicize everything. You propaganda the fucking airwaves. You propaganda TV. You propaganda the emails. You propaganda social media. You put what you want, the narrative you want out there. You get the public to believe it. The public then believes it. Then you try to change the narrative slightly to see how much control you have. When you successfully do that, you change it a third time to where you completely confuse the population. And when the population is completely confused, they're going to divide even more. You throw race. You throw gender. You throw equity, you throw all this shit, you throw COVID at them, right? And then you break them down even more, and then you say, okay, cool, this is what we're gonna do. Is everybody ready for happiness and joy again? They say yes, and then you feed them what you believe is happiness and joy, which is anything better than what they're currently living in and the standards that they're living in and the inflation and the recession. And then you just get them to just agree to do exactly what you want them to do. You bring them down to the very bottom and then bring them up just a little bit. And that's how you control a country. That's how you control territory. That's how you do it. That's exactly as what has happened when the USSR fell. And I think Putin just wants it back to keep NATO. He doesn't want to fucking deal with it. I mean, Russia hasn't necessarily been in a war in a long time. They don't want nothing. They just want to live their own fucking life. I mean, Putin himself has said he's sick and tired of America's propaganda and efforts to confuse his country via people who visit our country and come back and spew bullshit lies. I don't know how truthful that is. Like I said, I'm not taking the man's side, but this is all I have to run off of information. This is what I think is what's happening. And then in the midst of it all, you have Biden trying to cover his tracks for all of the shit that happened with Hunter and Ukraine and the corruption that occurred. So you have him sending help to keep Russia from either getting all of that information and giving it to what I believe might be President Trump, not as an asset, but using it as fuel to win back the country. Because I don't know, maybe these two guys are sick and tired of all of this one world order bullshit. I don't know. I have no idea. But I do know that the American media has done a very good job of destroying or attempting to destroy Russia and Putin's credibility 100%. 100%. I truly believe that now. I think that we are in the midst of World War III over Ukraine and, you know, previous administration's corruption scandals. And we're going to see all that come to light and come to fruition here. So it's going to be exciting to see what happens over the next few months to the rest of this year and the rest of Biden's term, which I don't think he'll serve the entire term. I think he'll be cut short. But I mean, there, and I can dive into, there's a lot there too. Like, where has Kamala Harris been at? She finally allegedly goes to the border. I don't know about that. I mean, and we can talk about the border too. The amount of people that have just flowed through the through the holes in our system. There's so much going on, and I think it's all calculated, and it's the last ditch effort of the left trying to hang on to itself. And we'll see what happens. Like I said, Kevin McCarthy is now the House Speaker. So we'll see what happens. He promised a lot of things that a lot of people before him never would promise, would never speak of. And so did Donald Trump. He promised a lot of things that, oh shit, speaking of things that he promised, if you haven't caught his recent conversations that he's had on True Social and whatever you can find on the media that will actually show it, he's angry. He is fed up. He's absolutely fed up with government. And you think that he had talked about draining the swamp? I think what he should have said is he's going to expose the swamp, and now he's going to drain the swamp. Because think about what just happened. Ilhan Omar gone. Boom. That's one. The squad needs to go first, I believe. I do believe, because they are the most extreme. You remove them and then you can start focusing on everyone else. It's going to be a tit for tat battle in the House of Representatives, in Congress, in the intel community, in the farming community, in the communications community, in everywhere, in every part of legislation, housing community. It's going to get crazy. But again, we'll see what happens. There's a lot that was said, and now we just need to watch and see what occurs. I hope it happens, and I hope that we get somewhere we can get this country on a more positive track. You know, this is the beginning of the end, and it's the beginning of end of both beginnings of both ends. It's either the beginning of the end of America, and the left can supersede what we have accomplished so far, and what could very well turn the tides of this war within. Or it's the beginning of the end of the Biden administration, of the left, of the deep state, of the swamp. It's the beginning of one of the ends. Something's going to happen. I mean, we're at the last straw on the camel's back. I don't think the tinsel can stretch anymore. I think that it's about to just start flooding information. I think information is going to start flooding across the media and the social networks and all of those different, you know, waves that transpire and transmit and distribute information. I mean, it is about to get insane. It's about to get insane. Next time, I'm going to have more information. I'm going to dive in a little bit more and see what happens with the outcome of Ilhan Omar. I'm going to watch what happens with Ukraine and Russia. I'm going to keep an eye on this inflation. The Fed came down a quarter point or 25 points today. Or yesterday or whatever it was, but they're still up. They're still moving up. So we'll see what happens. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we got to keep an eye on. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be spicy. I'll try to get in here as much as I can. There may be some short ones. If I have just some short shit to share, I'll try to put some short ones together. And, if I think it's apparent that it's breaking and I need to speak about it, I'll drop a little bit in there. As far as that's concerned, please remember, do your own research, and this show is completely opinionated. I formulate my opinions based off of all the information that I can possibly gather and read. And yes, I listen and read to as much as everything as I possibly can. I don't just go one-sided, but I will say that even though Fox is getting more and more uncredible, there's still some very credible things, and you can still get some stuff from them. Pretty soon, it's just going to be left to things like the Epic Times and the Gateway Pundit and shit like that that's actually putting out some real information and not trying to muddy the waters. I'll try to get you the most accurate information that I can. Everybody knows that everything is all hearsay, so unless there's actual documents that can be ran through and read, most of this is all hearsay. But the more hearsay in connection with each other, the more probably realistic that is. But we'll see what happens. I'm tracking everything. Keep in mind, we are in the heat of what is going on in this country right now, and it's a make or break situation. With that, I'm going to go ahead and get up out of here. Y'all enjoy yourselves. Enjoy the new year. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Happy Chinese New Year to everybody. February 14th is coming around. Spend some time with your loved ones. Love your wife, love your husband, love your girlfriend, love your boyfriend. Love your fiancés if you're those. And I'll see you guys soon.